This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, a few weeks prior, we began our discussions learning from the story of the Sabbath. The people among Banu Israel, the community that was living on the shore that Allah told us about in Surah Al-A'raf, so that we can look within ourselves, not so that we can get better at pointing fingers and the blame game. And he said to us, these were a people that neglected their purpose and their duty to worship Allah. And as a result of that, life became complicated. The usually, ordinarily wider sphere of the permissible, of the halal, became tighter on them. And it seemed to feel like my only viable options in life were the haram. And so instead of realizing that that was a penalty for their indiscretions and showing Allah patience, their lack of pious restraint, their lack of taqwa and patience made them violate even further and justify through loopholing, as we said, their violations. So they violated on the Sabbath by eating the fish they caught on that day. What happened next? The passage goes on to say, وَقَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a group from among this community said, لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. What is the matter with you? Fishing on Saturday? No. They said, what is the matter with you for advising these violators? For advising these people whom Allah is bound to destroy or afflict them with a severe punishment. So you see what happened there. That's the very next verse. The violators and then critics, not of the violators, critics of those advising and objecting to the violators. There's three camps of people now. Those who trespassed on the Sabbath by fishing there on that day, and those who objected to them and said to them, fear Allah, this is not allowed. It's not a matter of if Allah's going to punish us. It's when. Don't do this. Don't play games with Allah Azza wa Jal. Then a group rose that said, what's the point? You're not going to change the world, as they say. There's a class of people like this throughout history, isn't there? It's pointless. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your time. They're not going to change. Nobody's listening. You're not going to change the world. You see, this story is a timeless story. This is not about some people in some small town on the shore. You will always have people that try to justify their silence, justify their cowardice, justify their passivity and their non-involvement, and some of them even mask it in the form of advice. But instead of advising the person actually doing the wrong, you're advising, really criticizing, those objecting to the wrongdoing. Can you imagine the reverse logic that's happening here? And so how did the objectors to the violators respond? They said, مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. We will continue to object so that we may secure our excuse in front of your Lord. Regardless of results, I'm doing this to have my excuse in front of Allah. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ, and maybe they'll wake up. Maybe some of them will avert the punishment. Maybe some of them will activate their taqwa, their piety and their avoidance of what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important lesson here, that whenever evil is done in front of us, whenever injustice, oppression, immorality, whatever it may be, surfaces in front of people, there's three scenarios the Quran tells us about and that the Sunnah directs us to. The first scenario is when you can object to the evil and you do in fact object to the evil openly. In that case, your objection will not just protect you in front of Allah, but protect those around you as well. For instance, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَىٰ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. And your Lord would not destroy the people of the towns while there are rectifiers, reformers, not salihun, not righteous people, muslihun, those who are trying to get others to be righteous. That's what protects the town from Allah's punishment coming down right away. Or the other verse that says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And your Lord would not, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, punish them, the Meccans, and all the evil they're doing. Allah would not punish them while you are among them. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because he is there protecting his society, delaying the punishment from coming by his open objection to it. The second scenario is when people cannot object. Your life is on the line if you object. Or close to that. Something that severe could happen to you if you openly object. Then in that case, you being righteous within yourself, your personal or your private righteousness, may delay the punishment from descending upon your people, from descending at a certain time and place. Where do we get this from? When the Muslims were being threatened at Hudaybiyah, and this is mentioned in Surah Al-Fath, by Quraysh again. Notice, now the Prophet Muhammad's no longer in Mecca. He escaped with the believers, the persecution in Medina, and they're coming back for Umrah and they're being threatened. What did Allah say in Surah Al-Fath to the people of Mecca? وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَأُوهُمْ. Were it not for the fact that there was still among you in Mecca believing men and believing women that you don't know about. They're not openly objecting. They're closet Muslims, essentially. They're not able to even show that they're Muslim. Allah is saying, were it not for the fact that there remains in Mecca, in this place filled with evil people right now, believing men and believing women that you don't know, and that is why you don't attack them. Allah's from His mercy, you can't know them, because if you knew them, you would attack them. And if you attack them, I'd finish you all off. Their existence is a security measure for you. The end of the ayah says, لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا. Had they separated themselves, these hidden Muslims, these undercover believers that couldn't openly object, لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبِنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. We would afflict a severe torment upon the disbelievers. So that's the second scenario. You can't object. Your personal righteousness might protect your community. And it might not. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you may be destroyed if evil becomes prevalent, even if they are righteous among you, and then everyone gets resurrected on their intentions. Meaning there may be some righteous people that are taken with the punishment, but it's a purification and elevation for them. And on the day of judgment, Allah will say, you had the intention to object if you were able to, so you are spared. That's the second scenario. The third scenario, very quickly, is the scenario of those who can object but refuse to improve the situation even though they can. Refuse to speak up even if they can't improve the situation, though they can. This third group of people, their silence in the eyes of Allah is criminal. This third group of people, their silence is complicit in the acts of those that are oppressing and violating. May we never be of that category. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said that the first downfall of Banu Israel, when did they start falling apart? He said when they stopped checking each other, stopped holding each other accountable. He said a man would meet his brother and say to his brother, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, fear Allah, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لَكَ ذَلِكَ. This is not permissible for you. And then the next day, it would just be business as usual. I don't want to make things uncomfortable. I don't want to bring up uncomfortable truths. I don't want to sort of ruin the chemistry in the relationship. Your life's not on the line. You just don't want the inconvenience. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَ بَعْضِهِمْ بِبَعْضٍ. Exactly what they were worried was going to happen, that's what happened. Allah turned their hearts against each other. They had internal animosity, internal division, internal conflict. Why? Because they were overprotective of that, their pleasure of each other, their approval of each other, over the approval of Allah Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there is a report. It is not precisely a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but a report from ancient nations that says that Allah once sent his angels and said, destroy the people of this town. They said, oh Allah, your righteous servant, so-and-so, is among them. Like, we're going to destroy him too? He said, begin with him. ابدأوا به فإنه لم يتمعر وجهه في قط. Begin with him, because his face never frowned for my sake one time. He couldn't get himself to show disapproval when I am being defied, when I am being challenged, when my boundaries are being trampled. This is not a righteous person. And the last hadith on this third scenario, the hadith in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul. I swear by Allah. لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you will command each other with doing the right thing. وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you will stop each other from doing the wrong thing. أَوْ لَيُشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُنْزِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ عِقَابًا, or else very soon Allah will destine to befall you a great punishment. ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ, and then you will beg him in dua and he will not respond to you. So we are all in it together. We are not allowed to see wrongdoing and think we're on a different boat going to a different place. We are obligated to do our part whenever and wherever we can to speak up and say we will not let the ship sink. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he once stood on the mimbar, the altar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said in a sermon, O people, what is the matter with you? Why are you reading the book of Allah and interpreting it in ways that were never intended? You people keep saying, just mind your own business so long as you're righteous. And you cite Allah as saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, alaykum anfusakum, focus on yourselves. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum, it will not harm you who strays so long as you yourself are guided. He said, that ayah only applies to those who have invited to guidance. Meaning, after you've said your piece, after you've told them what guidance is, then it's not harmful who strays, so long as you're guided. But if you're not inviting them to it, you're not sharing it with them, then you are among those who went astray. You are no longer among those who are guided yourself. May Allah make us guides who are guides for others. May Allah make us guides who are ourselves guided. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. So what happened with these three camps of people on the shore? They stood their ground and said, God's punishment is bound to come to those who play games with him. We are not even living amongst you anymore. And they lived on the other side of town. And the historical reports mention they even built a wall between us and them. We have nothing to do with you. And one morning they wake up and they hear the sounds of animals. And they set up their ladders and they look over this wall and they see that all of their clansmen, all the people of that tribe that are on the other side of the wall, the violators, had been devolved, transformed by Allah into monkeys. And the Quran is explicit on this elsewhere. فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَضَةً خَاسِئِينَ, we said to them, meaning we decreed in a single moment, be monkeys, all of you, in disgrace. And just so no one sort of misuses this, these monkeys don't have descendants. They were sterile, right? But they were monkeys recognizable to the people from the other side of the wall. They knew them by their eyes. Can you imagine? That's my uncle. I can see it. That's my brother. That's my niece. I can see it by their eyes, but the rest of their body is no longer human. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah said in the Quran, this is the last verse of these three verses of the story of the Sabbath in Surah Al-A'raf, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, once those violators forgot, dismissed, ignored everything they were being reminded with, أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّءِ, we saved those who were forbidding the evil. We saved the objectors. وأخذنا الذين ظلموا بعذاب بئيس بما كانوا يفسقون. And we snatched the wrongdoers, the violators, with a horrible punishment because of their flagrant sinning. And so the violators were snatched. The objectors were saved. And Allah is not forgetful. He deliberately was silent in the Quran about those who were silent. What happened to the third group? The Quran doesn't talk about it. You will never know until the day of judgment. Were they saved or were they destroyed? You can't know, and that is by design. Ikrimah, rahimahullah, says, I came to Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was known among all the Sahaba as Turjuman al-Quran, the master interpreter of the Quran. He said, I walked in on him, he had some pages of Quran in his lap, and he was sobbing, soaking his lap in these pages. And I said, what in the world happened? He said, come, look, I can't find those who were silent in these verses. What happened to them? And I have no reason to believe except that they were among those who were destroyed. Because Allah said, I saved those who objected. And they didn't object. And then he said, كَمْ رَأَيْنَا وَسَكَتْنَا كَمْ رَأَيْنَا وَسَكَتْنَا. And us too. How many times in our life we were silent. That's what he's worried about. How many times we saw wrongdoing in our life and we fell into criminal silence. So Ikrimah, his student actually, kept saying, I argued with him and I pestered him and I worked so hard to persuade him that maybe they were saved. Maybe they were saved because look, the Quran says that they said, stop advising people that Allah's bound to destroy them. Stop advising them. They're evil. They're a lost cause. So at least they recognized in their heart that they were a lost cause. At least they objected internally. Maybe that'll get them saved. He said that Ibn Abbas was so happy to hear that from me, that I gave him that glimmer of hope, that maybe our silence, some of it will be forgiven, that he jumped up in joy and he grabbed essentially his favorite shirt and he gave it to me as a gift. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, whenever there is clear wrong, not talking about some difference of opinion among the scholars of Islam, clear wrong, and you can say something to help the situation, say it. You must say it. If you don't know what to say, amplify the words who know what to say. The scholars or anyone else. You speak about what's happening today, the genocide in Palestine right now. Speak up. Allah will ask you, did you speak up or not? Or were you too afraid to speak up? Were you too indifferent to speak up? That silence would be criminal. When you see immorality, this perversion of sexuality being spread in the schools, are you just going to sit there and like lift your hands in the sky when you get those emails or hear about these news reports? Or sit there in a corner of the world with your wishful thinking? Speak up. Be a voice. Put a dent. At the very least, it'll be your excuse in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you see your relatives, those you care about, those in your society, saying or doing or earning or dressing or behaving in a way that's inappropriate, say something. You have more agency and more power and more responsibility than you realize. And Allah will ask us about it. If that means sharing information, share it. If that means encouraging those that are feeling weak, encourage them. Speak up. Allah Azza wa Jal has given us a voice, given us a tongue, given us a chance, and given us the story of the Sabbath to realize the stakes of what we do with that chance.